Praise the Lord, everybody. If you got your Bibles, turn with me to Proverbs 11, verse 3. And I need one of those mics again. You can get me one, brother. I appreciate that. I'm in a very unique position tonight. And the reason why I am is because this morning, through tongues and interpretation, the Lord said that He wiped all of our slate clean, which means it's like talking to people that have all been baptized in Jesus' name. And thank you. Is this baby on? Any guy that's been up here in a long time, maybe. And it's all because of the goodness of God. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. Glory. Because the fact that your slates are now clean, what I'd like to do for you tonight, and like I say, the timing of messages are very unique to anybody that ever speaks in this pulpit. If any time you ever get a message to the Lord, you always want to know that God is in it and the timing is right and it's for the right moment. And I really believe in my heart of hearts that what God has given me works in perfect harmony with what the Lord did for all of us this morning by cleaning our slates. Because tonight I'm going to encourage you and I'm going to strengthen you with the Word of God that's going to help you keep those slates clean. And so that's what I'm hoping to do. So I think before I'm done tonight, you're going to see that it worked out perfectly with God. So with that being said, Pastor, I'd like you to ask God to bless me, and then we'll begin. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Bless you, Jesus. I now need you, Lord God. Thank you, Jesus. Yes, we are, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Bless your mighty name, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. All right. Could I have a little more volume, guys? Thanks. Proverbs 11 and 3 says this. It says, "The integrity of the upright shall guide them, but the perverseness or the distortion of transgressors shall destroy them." Turn with me to Proverbs 2, verse 6 and 8. We're going to go through four scriptures here, and then we'll have you sit down. "But the integrity of the upright shall guide us, but the perverseness or distortion of transgressors, it'll destroy them." And we obviously can see that in our world today. Proverbs chapter 2, verses 6 through 8 says this, "For the Lord gives wisdom. It comes from his mouth, and out of that mouth comes knowledge and understanding. He stores up sound wisdom for the upright. He is a shield to those who walk in integrity, guarding the paths of justice and watching over the way of his saints." Isn't it wonderful when we have integrity what the Lord will do for us? Amen. Proverbs chapter 17, verse 27, we are now going to talk about the spirit of excellence, because if I had a title for this message, it would be Integrity and the Spirit of Excellence. Proverbs 17, 27 says, "He that hath knowledge spareth his words, and a man of understanding is of an excellent spirit." The last verse is found in Philippians chapter 1. Got to work for this one. Philippians chapter 1, and we will read verse 9 and 10. I'll give you a minute. All right, Philippians chapter 1, verse 9 and 10. "And this I pray, that your love may abound yet more and more in knowledge and all judgment, that ye may prove things that are excellent, that ye may be sincere and without offense till the day of Jesus Christ." You may be seated. I want to begin by talking to you about a story of a Christian man. We're talking about integrity right now. Now, this Christian man had a car that he was in the process of selling, And the gentleman that was going to buy his car had some questions that he wanted to ask him. And those one question was, have you ever been in a wreck with this car? And so the Christian man says, no, I have never been in a wreck with this car. But the thing about it was, mama, grandma, and the daughter were in a wreck with that car. Now, this gentleman was not lying, was he? But there was no integrity in what he did because he knew that the car was wrecked on three different occasions. Now, I had the blessed opportunity of doing the same thing recently. I sold a car that my wife wrecked, and she did a real good job wrecking it. It was about $14,000 worth of damage on that car. And when we got it back, it just didn't work right. And we took it back, I think, one or two different times and said, this isn't working right. And we got it back, and it still didn't work right. And I knew my wife periodically goes up north to see her parents, and I just didn't have any more confidence in this car whatsoever. And I said, honey, I'm just going to sell it. And so that's what I did, and I bought a different one. But while I was at the car dealership, I didn't have to say a word about the car at all. You know, I didn't have to say it was in a wreck. I could have just tried to wheel and deal the best I could. But I sat down with the man. I said, sir, I'll be honest with you. I said, this car was in a wreck. And I says, I just want you to know that before you do all your figures with it. And he said, all right, we'll check it out. Because what happens is whenever your car does get in a wreck, and I didn't think about this at the time, but I now know that everything gets registered, you know, through your ID or your VIN number of anything that happens to your vehicle. And so he come back to me and he said, yes, your car really was in a wreck. He looked at the amount of damage to it and how much it cost. He said, wow. And so what happened was, because of my integrity in the matter, though, and in the honesty of what I did, the Lord still allowed me to trade that car in for only a couple hundred bucks less than what it was actually worth to trade it in. So I thought he was going to nail me and say, no, it's $3,000 off or whatever it be. But actually, it only came out to be a couple hundred bucks that it was off. And so I thank the Lord for integrity because it even works in bad circumstances. Amen? I remember recently going to the dump. My son sent me, we have two dump trailers at our work, and they were both filled up. And so my son says, Dad, go dump these trailers, right? And so I dumped the first one. And what you do is when you go on a scale, then you come off the scale, you dump your load, and you go back on the scale. And that's how they determine how much weight of stuff that you had in your trailer. And that's what determines what it costs that you're going to pay. And so I did that with the first trailer, dropped it off, went back and got the second one. I came back, and I went on the scale like you do, and then I dumped the load, and I went back on the scale again. And then you have to go into this little office, and they give you a little slip stating, you know what I mean, you know, all the facts and figures of what happened. Well, I was curious how much difference was in the weight between the two trailers. I just kind of wanted to know. And so when I looked at the slip that they gave me, they said on the second load that I only had 20 pounds of garbage in this trailer. And the first one had close to 1,800 pounds. And I know that I bought both trailers full of stuff. And so what happened was I said, you know, I could have walked out of there and said, man, I'm going to make some money on this deal, only 20 pounds. But I did what God wanted me to do. I went back and I said, I think there's something wrong with this. And so then they actually said, oh my gosh, you know what I mean? We made a big mistake here. But what they did because of the mistake is they didn't give me the poundage that it was even close to, because that load had to be 1,700 pounds as well. And he said, we'll just charge you for maybe 700 pounds. And I said, okay. So the Lord blessed me a second time just because of the integrity of doing what I should have done in the first place. Amen? And so what that does, it shows me that to be an excellent person before God, it actually comes with the simple things in life. It doesn't always have to be these grandeur things. But if we can learn the spirit of excellence and integrity, it starts with all these little things that we do on an everyday basis. If we could do those in an excellent way and in integrity, you're going to find that God brings you to higher levels throughout your journey with the walk with God. Now, I want to share some with you. I do not want you to tell anybody about this, okay? I want you to know that I am personally not interested in being a good Christian. I don't want to be a good Christian man. I absolutely don't. Because I'll tell you why. When I was in school, we used to have a grading system, all right? And I used to have all of them, okay? I had a few U's along the way, which means it's unsatisfactory. Okay, I had a few of those. That's my father. A D, if you get a D, that's poor. If you get a C, it's good. If you get a B, though, it's very good. And if you get an A, it's excellent, right? Now, if Jesus Christ gave me an excellent spirit, and I'll show you that in the scripture in a minute, and I have integrity, why on earth do I want to be a good Christian? I want to be an excellent Christian, right? I don't want to be a good Christian. When we think of excellence, though, it is often thought of in the light of academics or athletics. An excellent student often has certificates, degrees, awards, even a good paying job to prove the level of their academic excellence. Now, an excellent athlete has awards, he has medals and trophies and a position maybe on a professional sports team, and it's because he is an excellent athlete. Amen? But the world's judgment of excellence is based on two things. It's always recognition and reputation. But when it comes to Christians, we are not judged by those standards, are we not? Can I hear an amen? We are not judged by those standards. Excellence is something that is born in the heart of a born-again believer. It must be caught by a believer as an inner personal conviction rather than being taught some type of behavior. We all receive the baptism of the Holy Ghost. We all become born-again Christians. But you will notice that not everybody gets on fire for God, even though they become born again. There is something about catching, okay, excellence. God's given it to you, but it's always tough to make it work, is it not? If you want to be a good Christian, you'll make heaven your home. Don't get me wrong. If you're a good Christian, you'll make it. But if you're an excellent Christian, just think about the things that God could do with your life. Why shall I let a great athlete do more for the world and me do less for God? I want to do excellent for God, right? Excellence is more than just doing a good job. It involves more than performing the bare minimum. Perhaps the best way to define excellence is to describe what excellent is not. Excellence does not imply mediocrity or complacency. It is not doing something of poor quality or throwing something together in some patchy way. The opposite of excellence is inconsistency, unreliability, leading to untrustworthiness. A person with the spirit of excellence can be trusted to do quality work every time they are asked to do it. That's what an excellent person does. Excellence automatically goes hand in hand with integrity, folks. It absolutely does. The character of an individual, though, can be judged by what they do when no one is watching. Isn't that true? A person of integrity, a person of an excellent spirit, you don't have to worry about them. And I'm going to show you something in a few minutes in regards to that. The one who still strives to do things with excellence all the time, even when no one else notices, is a person of great integrity. That is a person who can be trusted. There is an understanding with that individual, though. That individual always knows there's two people that will always know what he's doing. Okay? Himself and God. So it's very easy to have integrity. It's very easy to be of an excellent spirit because you always know you have it or you don't have it, and you always know that God knows if you have it or you don't have it. Amen? Now, Ecclesiastes 12:14 says, "For God shall bring every work into judgment with every secret thing, whether it be good or whether it be evil." Amen? This thought alone should convict a person of excellence to do their best quality of work every time they have an opportunity. If you have your Bible, turn with me to 1 Kings chapter 9. First Kings chapter 9, verses 1 through 7. It says here, "And it came to pass when Solomon had finished the building of the house of the Lord and the king's house and all Solomon's desire which he was pleased to do, that the Lord appeared to Solomon the second time, and he had appeared unto him at Gibeon. And the Lord said unto him, I have heard thy prayer and thy supplication that thou hast made before me. I have hallowed this house which thou hast built, to put my name there forever, and my eyes and my heart shall be there perpetually. And if thou wilt walk before me as David thy father walked, in integrity of heart and in uprightness, to do according to all that I have commanded thee, and will keep my statutes and my judgments, then I will establish the throne of thy kingdom upon Israel forever, as I promised to David thy father, saying, there shall not fail thee a man upon the throne of Israel. But if ye shall at all turn from following me, ye or your children, and will not keep my commandments and my statutes, which I have set before you, but go and serve other gods and worship them, then will I cut off Israel out of the land which I have given them, and this house which I have hallowed for my name will I cast out of my sight, and Israel shall be a proverb and a byword among all the people. And church, sadly, this is exactly what happened to Solomon and the nation of Israel. Solomon lost his integrity, didn't he? And Israel ended up being forced to the four corners of the world. So the very thing that God asked Solomon to do, he did not do. He didn't have the spirit of excellence working in him. He didn't allow integrity to rule his life. Integrity is choosing your thoughts and your actions based on values rather than personal gain. Now, the dictionary defines integrity as this. It's a firm adherence to a code of especially moral or artistic values, or incorruptibility, incapable of being bribed or morally corrupted. That's the dictionary of integrity. Now, the Hebrew word translated integrity in the Old Testament means the condition of being without blemish, completeness, perfection, sincerity, soundness, uprightness, and wholeness. Integrity in the New Testament means honesty and adherence to a pattern of good works. Now, this is what I want you to see. Jesus, obviously, is our perfect example of a man of integrity and obviously the spirit of excellence. But as sinful human beings, our integrity is flawed. Okay? 2 Corinthians 5:17 says this. When we are in Christ, and that's the important part. If you're in Christ, you have integrity and you have a spirit of excellence going on in your life. We partake of his divine nature. You have to understand the divine nature of Jesus Christ is excellent and it has integrity. And if we are partakers of that divine nature, having been given new natures in Christ, and that the new nature is one of integrity because it is his nature. We have the nature of Christ. You do not have to worry about, do I have the spirit of excellence or do I have integrity? You do have it because Jesus gave it to us when we were filled with his spirit. Can everybody say amen? Amen. Because of this nature, though, we are all capable of excellence and integrity. We are all capable of this. This can only be caught if you desire it to be caught in your life. Remember, excellence and integrity can't be necessarily taught, but it can be caught. It's up to every single one of us. Do you want the fire of integrity in your life? Do you want that spirit of excellence to work in your life? What is it that we want as Christian people before God? The world needs us, okay? The world absolutely needs us tonight, church. I'm going to step over here. I'm going to try for the rest of this message to give you some examples of how integrity works and how the spirit of excellence works. I'm going to go over to this little pillar right here. This pillar here, when you look at it, its design work and how it looks and operates is excellent, isn't it? That is an excellent pillar right there. But the most important part of this excellent pillar is its integrity. It's going to work. You don't ever walk into this church and think that these pillars are going to fall down. You don't even think about it because you know they're excellent and you know they have integrity in them. And isn't that the same thing with each and every one of us? Is that when we have this excellent spirit and we have integrity, the pillars of this church basically hold up the rest of the church. When you look at each one of those individual boards, picture that as a saint in the church, okay? Now, these pillars hold up the saints in the church. It's very important that if you know or believe there's a pillar in the church, I'm talking about a human pillar now, okay, that it's important that you pray for them, because if one of these pillars right here would collapse, it doesn't mean the church will collapse, but what it means is there's going to be some saints on the both sides of that pillar that are going to be damaged because of a pillar that loses his integrity and his excellence. So if you have anyone that you know about in this church that you feel is a pillar in the church, pray for that individual all the time, because we have to have the pillars in the church to keep the saints all in the right place. Amen? I can look at different things in this church and say different things about it. Obviously, you look at the lights. They're great, and they have integrity, because every time that you hit that switch up there, they work, right? Every day that we walk in this world, what are we? We are the light of this world. They need to see greatness, and they need to see integrity. Every time we wake up in the morning, we go to our jobs, we go to stores, we do the right things. Isn't that true? I can look at that speaker up there, and I can say to myself, now that is a great speaker, and the integrity is always there. You know why? Because no carnal or worldly person will ever speak out of that speaker. It's praising God at all times. It's giving the word of God out. So at all times, that speaker is excellent, isn't it? It always has integrity. And guess what, church? That's the same thing that these speakers need to be. At all times, there should be praise out of this lips and not all the stuff that happens sometimes with speakers. In fact, speakers have changed. They used to be here, and like Pastor Schumacher said last week, they're now here. Okay? Somehow, some way, we've changed these speakers to these speakers. And we've become very bold, haven't we? Amen. I can look at this carpet. This carpet is of excellent value, isn't it? It is excellent. It has integrity, and it constantly gets stepped on all the time. Stepped on. Thousands of little footprints are in this church every day. This carpet is constantly being stepped on. You as saints of God are constantly stepped on. Are you not? But are you going to hold your integrity? Are you going to keep the spirit of excellence, even though you get stepped on all the time? Amen? Then you have those in the church that, and every church has them, where people are struggling spiritually. They're struggling. And sometime that light's about to go out, at least they feel that in their heart. Well, they're like that exit sign right there. Because I want you to know something, church. When all the electricity in this church goes out, you know what happens? Those two little lights on the side represent Jesus. And they still go on, even though you think your light has gone out. Soon as that happens in your heart and spirit, the lights of Jesus still go on. And he will follow you right to the end. He will never forsake you, the Bible says. And so if you see a backslider, just keep thanking God. Keep praising God for a backslider, because they'll return someday. The way this world's going right now, they're coming back. They're going to come back. Amen. Now I'm going to switch the story to something that you all know about, and that's a ship. If I told you, what's the greatest ship that people speak about? What's the name of that ship? The Titanic. Everybody talks about the Titanic. Well, I happened to decide to do some research on the Titanic, and I wanted to know why it sank. I wanted to know what was the cause of it. I know it hit an iceberg, but that's not the reason why it sank, okay? What happens here is this was the greatest ship known to man in 1912. Okay, I think it went down on April 14th. But in 1912, it was the most excellent ship that man had ever built. And if you get a chance to look at the pictures, you'll get a chance to see all the luxurious items that were inside that. The wood and the china and, you know, the carpet and all the rooms were just perfect. This was just an incredibly excellent ship. No question about it. But the problem with the Titanic is it had no integrity. All right, it lacked integrity, and this is where it lacked. What happened was, when the steel that made up the hull of that ship, and you can find this all online, they were building three big ships at the same time, and what happens, they had a lack of steel. Not a lack of steel, but a lack of the right kind of steel. Because what happens with steel, and I think the pastor can back me up on this, is that if you put too much sulfur in steel, it becomes brittle. It doesn't bend, it becomes brittle. And what happened was they were building these three ships and it couldn't produce the steel fast enough or the rivets. And so what happened is these rivets weren't made correctly. And the hull of the ship was made of this steel that had way too much sulfur in it. And what happened was when it hit the iceberg, instead of just rippling and bending a little bit, it actually busted apart like when you drop a piece of china on the cement and it just cracks up. Well, nobody knew this until I think it was 1985 is when they actually discovered the Titanic at the bottom of the Atlantic. But at some point after that, they were able to go down, obviously, and get all these artifacts, and they got steel, and they began to put under microscope or however they do their metallurgy or whatever. And they found that the Titanic, if the steel would have been correct, okay, the ship probably wouldn't have sank, okay, because it wouldn't have just busted apart, and it was brittle. And so that was one cause. Another cause was of the rivets, because when the rivets hit the iceberg, they just sheared because they were cheap. They were done in a very cheap way, and that caused it to bust apart as well. But there's another part in the Titanic that was unique too, is the fact that the ship was kind of built in thirds. And in those third sections, again, it wasn't built with quality steel. And when the Titanic began to list, when you see the pictures of it, it kind of went down in the front because that's where the rip was and started filling up with water, that what happened was when it reached, I think, like 10 degrees, between 10 and 17 degrees, what happened is the ship broke, okay? I'm told, based on what I read on the internet, that the Titanic was doomed anyway, because when you have these big waves out in the ocean, okay, they have a certain, I guess, they're made, they're designed to bend a little bit, and the Titanic wouldn't have made it through those bends because as soon as that ship hit about 10 or 12% list, it cracked, okay? And the reason being is because bad workmanship. They had no integrity. Was it an excellent ship? It sure was, but it lacked integrity. The same thing with the design. There was like 16 different water compartments, okay, that they thought but something happened. If there were five of them that were filled with water, the ship would still stay afloat. So they thought, wow, six end up breaking. Okay, six of them fill up with water, and that's why it went down. But the thing that's unique about it was these 16 watertight compartments were the reason why the ship went down. And the reason why is because as the ship went down, those watertight compartments were only so high in the ship. They weren't high enough. And so what happens when the ship went down, the water began to go like this here, and it just kept filling and kept filling and kept filling the next department, and then that's why the ship went down. They said if they had none of those in the ship would have filled with water, but it would have went down perfectly like this, and they would have had plenty of time for the Carpathia to come and other ships to get all the people off that ship. And so what happens is you look at the Titanic, excellent ship, but it had no integrity. And so we as saints of God, we can dress like this. We can look pretty good. We could be of an excellent spirit even. But if you don't have integrity, you're going down. You're going to go down like that Titanic. And so that brings me to my final story. And this one's in the Bible. And this one, believe it or not, it'll take a little bit of time to explain because there's so many people involved in just one thought. I'm only going to talk to you about someone that didn't have integrity in the Bible and what happened to that person because of it. But it starts out way back in 1 Kings chapter 17, verse 1, where it says a simple phrase, Elijah the Tishbite. In 17, verse 1 of 1 Kings, maybe it's 2 Kings. Is that 2 or 1 Kings, brother? One of them. So anyway, what happens is that's all the phrase that you see about Elijah. That's it. Elijah the Tishbite. But it's funny because in chapter 16, the previous chapter, you will see that there was a king. His name was Ahab. And King Ahab, according to the scripture, said he was the worst king, okay, of all Israel up to that point. He married this wonderful woman named Jezebel. And between him and Jezebel. He built groves. He worshiped Baal. And those two were an absolute mess, and you know the stories of their lives. But what was incredible, though, is out of nowhere, Elijah shows up. And God saw what was going on with Ahab and Jezebel, and he probably figured, I got to raise up a man. Or he already knew, obviously. And so he got Elijah the Tishbite, and the first thing Elijah did is he shut the rain off for a few years. And then what happened was later on in Elijah's journey, God says that he is to anoint an individual to be with him, and that anointing came on Elijah. And so Elijah was the kind of guy that had an excellent spirit, and he had integrity the whole time that he was with Elijah. If you read the story of Elijah, man, he was the guy. And what happened was Elijah was able to watch Elijah and all the things that he was doing, all the things that he was performing for God. Elijah fell in love with Elijah. And there's a couple incidents. I think there was three incidents where Elijah said that you don't have to come with me. He said, absolutely not. I'm going with you. He wouldn't separate from Elijah at all. So then one day, though, we know that Elijah was taken up in a chariot. And Elijah got the mantle of Elijah, and he began to perform the things of God, okay, with the same integrity and excellence that he had when he was working for Elijah. But what happened was, you got to remember, Elijah had a servant, and it was Elijah. So now it's Elijah's turn. He now has a servant, okay? His name is Gehazi. And so what happens is now is on Elijah's journey, there was a circumstance that happened, which is the story of Naaman. And this is where the integrity part begins to come to pass, all right? Naaman has leprosy, and there was a young girl, okay, that was the maid of Naaman's wife. And she says, there's a prophet in Israel that could heal you of your leprosy. And so when Naaman heard that, he went to the king. And so the king said, man, that's good. So he gave him silver, he gave him gold, he gave him raiment, and he said, go. And so I'll even write a letter to the king saying that you're on the way. And so all of a sudden the king gets the letter. And the king wasn't happy about the letter. He says, who do you think I am? I'm God that I can heal people? And so he wasn't too happy, and he actually rent his clothes, the Bible said. So then what happens is Elijah heard about it and said, king, why have you done this? Just send him to me. I'll take care of it. And so all of a sudden Naaman now goes to Elijah. And so Naaman obviously is thinking that, wow, I'm going to go to the prophet. I'm going to get healed of leprosy. And he's excited by that. He comes up with his horses and his chariots, and he stops it at the door of Elijah. And Elijah don't even come out. He don't even bother coming out. He sent his servant and said, just go tell him to dip into Jordan 7 times and he'll be healed. And so here is Naaman, full of leprosy. Now he's angry. The Bible says he was raging mad. He just wasn't mad. He was raging mad, and he just got up and left. He says, there's clean rivers around here. Why do I have to jump into Jordan? And so as he journeyed back, one of his servants said to him, king, if it was a hard thing that he would want you to do, would you have done it? And so he convinced Naaman to just go back to the Jordan and dip in that river 7 times, and your leprosy is going to be healed. And so he went back and he did that. And guess what happened after he was healed of his leprosy? His whole spirit changed, didn't it? His whole spirit changed, because now he says, I got to go back and talk to Elijah. And so he goes back to Elijah, and he wants to give Elijah all this raiment, gold, and silver. But Elijah said, absolutely not. I don't want a thing. But here's where the integrity part comes in, because now Gehazi, he has followed the same ministry as Elijah did with Elijah. Saw the same things, basically, a little bit more maybe. But his spirit changes now. In fact, you know what I'm going to do? I want you to turn, I think it's 2 Kings chapter 5. Let's go there once. I want to read this thing. I could tell you the story, but I want you to see it actually in the Word. Some water anyway. 2 Kings chapter 5 verse 20. All right, 2 Kings chapter 5 verse 20 says this. It says, but Gehazi, the servant of Elijah, the man of God, said, behold, my master has spared Naaman this Syrian, and not receiving at his hands that which he brought. But as the Lord liveth, I will run after him and take somewhat of him, because like I just said, Elijah was not going to take anything from this situation. But Gehazi had a different spirit. So Gehazi followed after Naaman. And when Naaman saw him running after him, he lighted down from the chariot to meet him and said, "Is all well?" And he said, "All is well. My master has sent me, saying, 'Behold, even now there become to me from Mount Ephraim two young men of the sons of the prophets,' which is a lie. Give them, I pray thee, a talent of silver and two changes of garments." He didn't want it all. He just wanted a little bit of it, okay? And Naaman said, "Be content. Take two talents." In other words, it's about $4,000. And he urged him and bound two talents of silver in two bags with two changes of garments and laid them upon two of his servants, and they bare them before him. And when he came to the tower, he took them from their hand and bestowed them in the house, and he let the men go, and they departed. But he went in, and guess what? He stood before the master. And Elijah said unto him, "Whence comest thou, Gehazi?" And he said, "Thy servant went no whither." And he said unto him, "Went not my heart with thee when the man turned again from his chariot to meet thee? Is it a time to receive money and to receive garments and olive yards and vineyards and sheep and oxen and men servants and maid servants? The leprosy, therefore, of Naaman shall cleave unto thee and unto thy seed forever." And he went out from the presence a leper, as white as snow. What's the difference between Elijah and Gehazi? One difference: integrity. Integrity. And church, I want you to know we are living in an hour now that integrity is something that it's almost doesn't exist. Everybody's lying. In fact, I just heard today, I'm trying to remember the guy's name, but he's one of these guys that's on Fox News or whatever, and he decided that, he said, I quit the Republican Party, he says. And he says, the reason why I quit the Republican Party because they have no integrity. They said that when they had the House and when they had the Senate, that they were going to do something with immigration, that they were going to do something with other things, and they're not doing a thing. You know what I mean? He says, "I'm out. I'm done." And it's because there's no integrity in things any longer. But church, we are the absolute last bastion of hope for this world. And sometimes you have to look at yourself in a stronger way. I think sometimes we walk around and we're fearful. You know what I mean? If the musician would come as I'm finishing up here. We have such an awesome opportunity to just be the light of the world. I don't even think we always have to do a lot. We just have to live the life, and people do see it. And if they want it, they'll get it. But I think tonight, as you think about coming to this altar, you have a clean slate today. God has taken everything off your table, and now you have the opportunity to say, "You know something, Lord? I want that integrity. I want that excellence of spirit that you have given me. I have it because I have the Holy Ghost. But now I've got to use it," because we all know that the flesh gets in there, and that's what causes all the problems, is our flesh doesn't want to always yield to the righteous things of God. And it's a journey for all of us. I'm preaching to me tonight. I'm not just preaching to you. You know what I mean? Integrity was not always a part of my life, even after I got saved. I can be honest with that. You know what I mean? I can't stand up here and say I've never sinned against God. And the minute you sin, you've lost your integrity. You've lost your excellence. And so, but I've learned things over time that I want every day. In fact, I get up every day and I say, "God, I do want to be an excellent Christian man. I don't want to be a good Christian. I want to be an outstanding Christian. That's what I want to be. That's what my desire is." I remember years ago when we started our business, we actually listened to one of these guys that are motivational speakers. And he said, "If you want to run a good business, you're going to be a failure." He says, "Good businesses don't make it in the end." He says, "If you're going to make it in the end, you're going to have to be outstanding. You're going to have to be excellent." I heard this a long time ago when it comes to business, okay? And so the same thing is with God. He says, "Who in the world wants to be a good Christian? Does anybody here want to be a good Christian?" "Sister, no, you don't." I want to be an outstanding Christian. I want to be someone that when people look at me, they say, there's a man of God, amen? Would you stand with me, Pastor?
Amen, amen. Glory to God. That's a good message. Everyone has integrity until they come to a place where they think it might hurt them, cost them. We're living in a day of situation ethics. My ethics is great until I come to a place where perhaps I can compromise. I remember Brother John Grant coming years ago, and he said, if this is the world, the church is, well, right about there. But then as the world moves this way, the church keeps moving closer. And so what we thought was acceptable 30 years ago, well, today, it's not acceptable anymore because we have compromised our integrity and our ethics. And what God would do for us 30 years ago perhaps isn't what he'd do for us today because we don't have the same integrity that we had. And I want to get back to where God is very pleased with our excellent spirit, that we don't just do what we have to, but go way beyond it. And then God meets us and treats us and blesses us beyond what we could possibly imagine. Amen. Keep your integrity. This world will lie to you that you can't live this life this way because you'll lose out. You will never be a loser. Conforming to the word of God. Glory to God. Thank you, Brother Miller. Amen. This altar is open. Would you come?